This is my story. This is my song. I wish I had the foresight to pick that song for tonight, so I have to say thank you to Rebecca for choosing that. But I think it was a divine choice, because this passage is a song. And there's something about songs, isn't there? Isn't there something about songs that allows us to both express ourselves? And so it's an individual experience that I'm singing. This is my story, and this is my song. And it's also a unifying experience, because we sing it together. And so songs have the ability to allow us to express ourselves and to be a part of something beyond ourselves. And that's something that this passage does brilliantly as a song, is it speaks both to the individual and to the body. I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm excited about that. And this is a song about joy. So I'll backtrack and we'll go from the beginning. Isaiah 12 comes after Isaiah 1 to 11. And don't write that down. That's not revolutionary or groundbreaking. But it is a compression of the prophetic message. It's a summary of everything Isaiah said already in the book. So this psalm has all the things you need for a word from the prophets. It has sin and judgment on one side, and there's a turning point, and it moves towards hope and joy on the other. So Isaiah 12 is a compression of the first, or is a compression of the prophetic message, and it's a conclusion of the first 11 chapters. And in those, we see both a corporate identity, and we also see an individual responsibility. So we see a group mindset, and we see a personal thing that we have to attach ourselves to as well. So earlier in Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 10, he calls his people, Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, "Hear the word, you people of Sodom. Listen to the law of the Lord, you people of Gomorrah." And so there's this big group identity where we think, oh, we're all going down together. He's just called Jerusalem, Sodom and Gomorrah. Together we are identifying as something quite negative. And so at the beginning of Isaiah, there's this idea, this is for all of you. This is a corporate message, and it's not necessarily a good one. So there's that message of sin and looming judgment right there from the beginning of Isaiah. There's also a personal element in the first 11 chapters of Isaiah. As John spoke this morning on Isaiah 6, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah spoke as a representative for his people. He spoke as an individual on behalf of the nation. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, and there were the creatures," remember, "with the wings, and with the wings they covered themselves, and they cried, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.' And he said, 'Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips.'" So all throughout the beginning of Isaiah, we've seen a corporate identity, a people of unclean lips, but also an individual responsibility. And so in this song, we already see that in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me." Verse 1 alludes to the dread of the Lord that Isaiah speaks about in chapter 2. It alludes to the sin and judgment. So in this part of the song, we come very, very close to the sin and judgment that comes in a prophetic message. And yet verse 2 declares, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. God is my salvation. He has become my salvation. In the turning point, the place we go back to, this sermon is called Back to the Well. The place we go back to is the well. There's a turning point in a prophetic message from sin and judgment, which we've seen, to hope and joy, which is where we're going. And the turning point in this song is the well. We go back to the well. With joy, verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So what happens at the well? Salvation. It's the well of salvation. And salvation comes from God. Salvation comes for us, but it comes from God. Surely God is my salvation. Surely God has become my salvation. And for this reason, we're joyous. Because woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, and I'm from a people of unclean lips. On an individual level, I understand that I've messed up. When I look around and I see the people around me, I understand that we've messed up. But surely God has become my salvation. Surely God has become my salvation. He is my song. We are joyous when we come to the well because salvation is not from us. And we are joyful no matter where we are in life. We are joyful in the now and in the not yet. So contextually, this prophetic writing happens in between the now and the not yet for the people of Israel. And it's going to happen in a different place in our life. But this refers back to the song that they sing after the Exodus. So this text references Exodus 15, which is the song they sang after the Passover. And so at the Passover, God was going to bring his sin and judgment. Remember, he's going to kill the firstborn of all the people in the land of Egypt, unless they were marked with the sign of the blood over the door. And then God would pass over. And that's where we get the term Passover. And so salvation came from the same source as the sin and judgment. God was going to be the one to bring the sin and judgment. God's also the one to bring salvation. And Alex Moitier said, thus wrath became comfort. Let's look back at 1 and 2 and see if we can see that in there. I will praise you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, sin and judgment were looming. Your anger has turned away. You have comforted me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Wrath became comfort. That's the story of the gospel, as we will see coming soon. Verses 4 to 6 talk about in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. His name. Now earlier in Isaiah, he's spoken about someone who's coming who will be named Emmanuel. And that name would mean God with us. In that day, you will say, you will make known his name. There's something special about God coming to be with us. They're looking forward to, they're trapped in between the now and the not yet of looking forward to Jesus Christ, who is coming to be with them. And you'll make his name known among the nations. It's good that God is with us. And so salvation, God becoming our salvation, happens in Jesus Christ. Sin and judgment turn to hope and joy only in Jesus Christ. He came to be God with us. And so just as the Israelites were in between the now and the not yet of their deliverance and the coming of the Messiah, we are in between the now and not yet of the Messiah and his second coming. And Jesus said something special to us. So Emmanuel, who was promised here in Isaiah in this first 11 chapters that are summarized in this song, Jesus Christ said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we take comfort and we find great joy in the fact that Jesus Christ is still with us. That's the only way I could face you guys and give word from the Lord, is if Jesus Christ was with me. That is a great comfort to me. That's a great comfort as we face our lives, as we see the things going around us, that God said he would be with us. He was the true Passover lamb, the lamb that was slain. In him, in Jesus Christ, wrath became comfort. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. That's later in Isaiah, and that's not in my notes, but it's a Bible verse, so it's okay. That tension between now and not yet, and the tension between now and eternity, propels us into action. So that's what the second half of the song is kind of our Christian action. Salvation acts as a catalyst for us. The same God who provided this salvation will sustain our salvation. So we come to the well both for provision and for sustenance. Coming back to the well is both the first step in the Christian life and the next step in the Christian life. If you've never heard of Jesus Christ, then you need to go to the well of salvation and ask God to become your salvation. If you've been a Christian for 50 years, then you still need God to be your salvation. We go to the well with joy because it's not about us. The very idea of a well suggests that there's life beneath the surface. So just like the Israelites trusted that God would be their salvation even before Jesus Christ was born, we trust that God is working in and amongst us. God is still with us, and the work that he does in us is restoration. He makes old things new. He takes our old life and gives us new life in Christ. And there's some strange things that he talks about in Isaiah, building up to this. It's summarized well into four words by John Woods. Hostility turns into harmony. We see that as he talks about your swords will turn into plowshares. So these weapons of war are now going to be used for growth and prosperity. The things that used to get to fight over, you can now have peace and growth from. Your swords will be turned into plowshares. The gospel subverts our cultural thinking. The gospel changes the way we see things. Chapter 11 talks about all these weird things with animals. The wolves will lie down with the sheep. That sounds strange. Like we don't think about a wolf lying down with the sheep and there being peace there. But the gospel brings peace to a chaotic world. The same people he called Sodom and Gomorrah are called to walk in salvation. So in this psalm, we see that we're looking forward to a time when we can all live together in peace. The gospel of Jesus Christ solves our corporate problem. You know, I am from a people of unclean lips. We can't do that on our own. We need outside help. And the gospel is going to restore. Hostility is going to turn into harmony. So as we trust in God, we begin to see the first fruits of a life redeemed by Him. Another John Woods quote, restoration spills over the banks of the earthly and the temporary. As we march on toward Zion, we begin to see His glorious life at work among us. Make known among the nations what He has done. Richard is in Romania as we speak, making the name of Jesus known. Jose and Jean, through partnership with Lansing Tabernacle and Metagrove, have just been in Ecuador making known the name of Jesus Christ. We see week in and week out works towards restoration as people from Lansing and Sompting come and visit our food bank. And we're able to give from a surplus and help restore them to a place of kind of decency and dignity. And we can participate in that corporately. We saw with the shoebox appeal this morning that there are ways to bring peace and to bring something good into a dark place. And our church tries to be a part of things like that. And our church seeks to be a corporate identity, a group body that works towards restoration. And so that's why we proclaim the good news corporately, because we are the local expression of Jesus Christ's body. But how do we do that? How do we do that? We must each respond individually. If we are to be a group of believers, we each have to take that step. We each have to respond to this. We each have to go back to the well. Salvation is the gift that keeps on giving. The well is the first step, and the well is the next step. Even if we are a person of unclean lips and a people of unclean lips, we can still find grace in the fact that God is my salvation. We are continually reminded that salvation does not come from us. We must go to the well. And that's not something I can do for you. That's not something Lansing Tabernacle can do as a body for you. That's something you have to do individually so that we can come together as a group, so that we can come together corporately. And the good news is, the reason we come to the well with joy is that God does it for you. I can't do it for you. God did it for you. Oswald said that God is the author, the cause, the agent, and the accomplisher of our salvation. Surely God has become my salvation. That's the good news. That's why we're here. That's why we come back to the well. And it still rings true to the last word of the song. The last two words of the song are "among you." So again, we've talked about God with us and that Jesus said He would be with us even to the end of the age. The last two words are "among you." Great is the Holy One of Israel among you. He is the gift that we have and the gift that we look forward to. Christ is our gift now, and He's the gift we don't have yet. We still look forward to life with Christ in heaven. Christ is the gift that we have and the gift that we will receive. And so we go back to the well with joy because it's not about us. And this raises our perspective from a selfish, self-centered, needy perspective, because that's what we are. That's how we operate. We need things. But when we go to the well, it becomes a catalyst. Remember I said this propels us into action. So what does it say after the wells of salvation? This is for all of us together. This is the corporate part. In that day you will say, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Walter Brueggemann said, "The conclusion of chapters 1 to 12 is an act of buoyant and determined hope that refuses to give in to debilitating present circumstances." Because it's not about us. It's not about our circumstances. It's about Jesus Christ, who interrupted human circumstances and became salvation for us. I feel like I've said this 80 times, but it's worth repeating. A buoyant and determined hope means that we're floating through our present circumstances on Christ. He has become our salvation. So what can we do? What can we do? We can join in. We can join in the song, because it's not about me, and it's not about you, and it's not the stuff that I bring to the table. It's what Christ brought to the table. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you, and this is my blood, which is poured out for you." Christ brought himself to the table, and that's all that we need. So we sing and we rejoice, and we do that in the various avenues of the church. We join the big conversation. We celebrate together in each other's homes. We'll have home group starting up this week. I encourage you to join a home group and fellowship together in the home. I'm going to encourage you to come to midweek prayer group and lift high the name of Jesus Christ and be grateful for what he's done for you. I encourage you to get involved on a Sunday morning. We have several people that have the gift of singing and playing instruments. We have several people that help with the children's activities through the back. We're looking for people to help with children's activity on Wednesday night. We join into the song and we begin serving because it's not about us. And it's really not even about our church here. And we go back to the well to remind us that salvation is not about ourselves. We're connected with people in North Korea who are celebrating the good news of Jesus Christ. We're connected with people in Africa who are celebrating the good news of Jesus Christ. We're connected to people throughout all time that are celebrating Jesus Christ. So we join in that song. That's the only appropriate response to this. So let's have a time of prayer real quick, and then we will sing In Christ Alone, and we can join together and sing that this very evening. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and that it is good, and that you speak through broken vessels, and that you allow your gospel message to come through any one of us, any person of unclean lips, from a people of unclean lips. And we praise you that you became salvation for us. There was no way that we could do that. There's no way we could do what you did on the cross. But you did it for us so that we don't have to. And for that reason, we are joyous, Father. We continue to come back to the well of salvation because we need you. You were the first step we took. And you're the next step, and you're the only step that we'll ever need, Father. So we pray now that as we sing In Christ Alone, that we would be reminded that you are everything that we need for life in godliness. Amen.